Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you leave here today, you will not be the same as when you came in. You will be living life differently. You will be thinking differently about yourself and the congregation. You will never again be the same. Of course, the reality of that is up to you. If you don't want to be different or changed, you don't have to be. That's always true when it comes to God's Word. We can choose to ignore it and go on our merry or maybe not so merry way. Speaking of God's Word, how'd it go this week? Remember I said there might be a quiz? Were you able to use any of the 6 suggestions about how to see Christ as the Lamb of God through reading Scripture every day? This week in God's Word, we're looking at how that Word, which reveals Christ, the Lamb of God, how that same Word of God's love changes us and changes our actions. We're looking today at how the love of God is what makes us different than we were before. How will we be changed by that love? Well, I can't give you your own specifics, but I can tell you that you will know about love in a new way. And that knowledge will either change you and allow you to see your life and how you can live it differently or not. That's your part. I know you're not used to hearing things like this from me. You're not used to hearing me say that things are up to you. Usually, it's about how you are different because of what God has done for you, not what you do differently. Well, that is also true today. Both things are true. Because you can only be different because of what God alone has done for you. And if you do choose to learn something new about love, that can guide you in changing how you choose to live. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So, let's talk about this love Jesus speaks of for a few moments, and let's learn something about it. Now, you remember me talking a while back about C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He also happened to die on the same day as JFK, and a few other things. He was an interesting fellow. He was an Oxford Don, quite an impressive Christian apologist. He also wrote a book called The Four Loves. It's a wonderful book about the 4 words in Greek that all get translated into our language as the one word, love. Each Greek word has its own unique meaning, and none of those meanings have anything to do with Madison Avenue telling you that you'll love this car or you'll love that dish soap. The 4 loves are these: Eros, Storge, Phileo, and agape. So let's deal with eros first. That sounds like another word you probably know, the word erotic. And eros is generally about that sort of love. It's self-seeking and sensual and usually sees the other person as just a means to please one's self. But eros is one of the 4 Greek words for love that, interestingly enough, is not anywhere in the New Testament. So eros is not what Jesus is talking about today. Neither is he talking about the word storge. But storge, or forms of it, are found in Scripture. Storge is used to refer to family-type love. It's the natural type of love that families share. It's the affection between cousins and uncles and moms and dads. It's what grandparents express. It's very strong, and it's a powerful bond. But this, too, is not the love that Christ speaks of today either. It is seen at a few places in Scripture, as we said before, but not here. And then there is phileo. Now, this one may sound familiar too. Ever heard of Philadelphia? It's known as the city of... There you go, what Jack said. The city of brotherly love. Now, phileo is often used in the Gospels and the New Testament. This is the deep, deep love of a true friend. It's a close and a binding sort of thing. In the Old Testament, the story of David and Jonathan is a good expression of seeing this sort of love. Now, phileo is also used by the crowds when they saw Jesus weeping over Lazarus's tomb and talking about how Jesus loved or phileoed Lazarus. It's also the expression that Peter uses when, after Jesus' resurrection, the two of them are walking by the sea. Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him, and Peter uses this word, phileo, in reply. So, phileo is a strong and potent expression of care, of embrace, of a bonding type of affection. In fact, in certain contexts, this word can also be translated as kiss, not in the erotic sense, but in the affection of one person for another sense. When you hear in the New Testament to greet one another with a holy kiss, like in Romans 16:16, that's a form of this word phileo. But again, this isn't the word Jesus uses in the gospel lesson today. Are you ready? Some of you have heard this. Some of you know this word for love. This is the word agape. Agape. This is the word that speaks of selfless love. This word describes love that is the opposite of self-seeking. This is love that seeks the best for the other. This is love that chooses and decides to act in the best interest of the beloved. There was a man who one day made such a decision, and his choice is a good picture of the love we're talking about. It started with a fire. Both parents died in a tragic fire on the first floor of their house where they slept. Upstairs, the couple's young son leaned out the window crying for help. Suddenly, out of the onlookers rushed a single man who climbed up the side of the house by hanging on to the gutter pipe, even though it was red hot from the fire on the first floor. He saved the boy and then was gone. Since both parents were dead, there was a court hearing to decide who should have charge of the boy. A neighboring farmer offered a good home. A wealthy man promised to give the boy everything that he needed. Then in came the man who saved the boy. His only claim was his scarred hands. As soon as the boy saw him, he rushed to hug him. The hearing was over. The man had chosen to make a sacrifice solely for the benefit of the boy. And that act of love, that act of love demonstrates the kind of love that changes a person. That's the kind of love Jesus was talking about in the gospel lesson today. That's the love that Jesus speaks of when he gives a new command. Read this with me, please. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The new command of Christ to his followers. That's his marching orders, so to speak. Now, this command we need to see in the context in which it is given. This command comes within hours of when Christ goes to the cross and will there show the disciples and us and the whole world what true selfless love looks like. And that selfless love is what Jesus says when he says in this verse, read this with me too, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He isn't using the word love like Madison Avenue uses it, like soap or a car that we talked about. This also isn't romantic love. It's also not talking about family love, like between brothers and sisters, and it's beyond even the love of a close friend. Earlier in this same chapter of the gospel, Jesus has done the work of a servant, and he's done it for the disciples. He's washed their feet. He did this to demonstrate agape love, the self-giving love that's willing to do what is needed for the other. Agape love is love in action. Agape love is love in action. It's not flowery emotions. Or it's not deep feelings. Agape love is restless. It's restless until the one upon whom love is being shown has all that they need. It's a love that is kinetic. That is, it moves, it acts, and is seen by being demonstrated. Like the man who rescued the boy from the fire. Agape isn't confined to words or to talk. It's not defined by emotions. Agape love is what Christ commands in verse 35. And it's what he has shown in the foot washing. And it's what he will show on the cross. He will go to the cross and do. He will go to the cross and do what needs to be done in order that the world, which Jesus loves, will have what it needs. And that is reconciliation with God, the Heavenly Father. Jesus rests in the grave only after the work of full and complete atonement is done, finished, and accomplished. Until then, Jesus doesn't stop acting in love. And after his resurrection, he continues to act in agape. And today we are given the command to do likewise. Not that we can redeem the world, that's ridiculous. But we're given the order to love one another as Christ has loved us. That means action and movement, going, doing, participating. It means seeing that each other's needs are met. It's the foot washing that another person needs. Jesus says that if we want the world to know that we follow him, then love is what we will show to one another. The mark, the sign and signal to others that we are of Christ and that he claims us as his followers is that we act in agape toward our fellow believers. I saw two examples of this in our congregation just on Friday. One was how the women came together to celebrate Desiree's upcoming wedding. This was an act of love done for the benefit of that particular person that our congregation has embraced in love. And the second act of love was watching Hank mowing the grass here. Again, he was doing love. He was acting for the benefit of the rest of us in love. Both of those acts were acts of foot washing of sorts. They were doing to benefit others, not the giver. Jesus says that in this way, the world will take notice and will know that we are his. Agape is the badge of the disciple. It's the badge of the follower of the man of Jesus Christ. The Christian knows the love of Jesus, the love that Jesus has for him, because Christ is risen. And the love of disciples for one another is not merely edifying. It reveals the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and their love for the world. Agape-type love is the identity that we bear. It's that which makes us different as we leave here today. This is the self-sacrifice that Christ shows, and that is what shows us to be different to the world around us. Now, that can be a hard thing for us because our society tells us to be your own person. Create your own reality. Be a self-made person. But Jesus instead calls us to be the people, the followers, the disciples that he has sacrificed to make us to be. We're to be the people that demonstrate we follow him and not ourselves. We are followers. And if we're not, if we choose to not show agape love, then we are leading people away from God and toward death and toward hell. That's where the devil wants us to take people, by selfishness and sin. But in the doing of love, in the doing of love, in showing agape to one another, the world will see. And the world will wonder at it. We don't want them to follow us. We want them to follow the one that we follow, Jesus Christ. Only in him is life and hope and salvation. As we follow him, bearing his name as a Christian, as we follow him then, we are serving one another by reflecting his love as he has loved us. History tells us that Alexander the Great would often hold court on the battlefield to try offenders right there on the spot. Once a young man, who was really just a boy, he was still too young even to shave, was brought before him on the charge of desertion. He was accused of hiding in a ditch to avoid the battle. Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "What's your name?" The young man replied, "Alexander." Alexander the Great came down and stood face to face with the young man. Then, extending his arms, he took the young soldier by the shoulders and shook him and said, "Either change your name or change your conduct. Either we reflect, imitate, and witness to our risen Lord Jesus Christ, or we don't. We don't act that way to earn his agape love, which is impossible, but rather we do that to reflect his love, which is poured into us through baptism and by the Holy Spirit. What you do with that love is your choice. You know now you are given agape love by God, and so you are now different. That he loves you is beyond your choosing, because he has already chosen you. He has chosen to agape you and to give you life eternal in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we act and in whose name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.